We are live. Halacha Gimel, Perek Shishi, Daf Nun Ches.
Okay, we're ready to start?
Ready to roll.
Okay, what page are we on, English?
58A1.
What number?
58.
58A1.
A1, Halacha 3.
58A1. Okay.
Okay, you got it? Yisrael Shekivol, Mikain or Milevi, if you have a Yisrael, who's the Kavlan? And the owner of the field is a Kohen or a Levi. The assumption is that the owners of the field are being Meshayer, the Trumas of Mises, for themselves. That's an understood condition. Rabbi Shmuel Omer HaKartani, Shekibu Ksodim Yerushalmi. So there's this province outside Yerushalayim, he's called the Kartani, a villager. Say, if he is Makabal Asoda from someone who lives in Yerushalayim, so all the Maisesheni that grows in his field is also assumed to go to the owner of the field, because after all, he could eat it there in his own location. So the Chacham say, no, not correct. It's not like the Reisha. In the Reisha, the Yisrael can't eat the Truma at all. And over here, you can eat the Maisesheni yourself. All you have to do is take a little trip to Yerushalayim. So they don't agree with Rabbi Shmuel. Seems like a pretty simple mishnah, yeah. The Gemara says, "Aldaiti Rabbi Shmuel." Using Rabbi Shmuel's logic, so in other words, if you're going to say that because of the specific matzav he's in at that particular time, we'll decide whether I get it or not. So then you have this bizarre case. If you have Kohen Tomei Shayashuta from Kohen Tar, let's suppose the owner of the field was a Kohen Tomei. Kaplan was a Kohen who was Tar. Are you going to say, Shema ain't Cholkim a Maisris? Are you going to say they don't divide up the Trumas and Maisris? Of course, because the owner can't eat it. Of course not. You don't say that. So the same thing is true for the Kartani with the Yerushalmi. The Kartani can't, in other words, even though right now he can't eat it, but he could travel. Just, even though right now he's Tameh, he could become Tahar. You don't look at everything the way it is right now, this moment. That's for the argument of the Chachamim to Rabbi Shmuel. So Taman, the Gemara answers it. The Gemara says it's a little different. Why? Yachal hu l'maychron l'kayin Tahar acher. Even if you're a Kayin Tameh, you can sell Truma to another Kohen, although you can't eat it, but it's yours, you own it, you could sell it to another Kohen. So therefore, you have a benefit from this Truma at present, right now, in your state of Tumah. Baram Hacha, but over here, by Maaser Sheni, Yochal Kartani Lalos Lo'ichlet B'Yerushalayim, it's not really Bitmiyah. It's really, all he can do is, he can take it up and eat in Yerushalayim, but he cannot sell it. Rabbi Shmuel's point is that your access to it to be considered a bialim is less than that of the Kohen Tomei. So it's not a gefela kakasha. All right. On the bottom, he talks about the inyan of whether you have a famous machlekes or man the chacham, whether Maisa Shemini is Mom and Gavaya, whether it's Mom and Heget. And so, you know, maybe that might go into the Gemara is making an assumption here that you can't sell Maisa Shemini. If it's Mom and Heged, maybe you could sell Maaser Sheni. So one mahalak is the Gemara is going like, or Meir holds his Mom and Gavaya. The other mahalak is that even like the Chacham will hold his Mom and Heged, but that's only in Yerushalayim. If you're outside Yerushalayim, it's still Mom and Gavaya to the extent that you can't sell it.
How would that be?
I don't know. He says this over here. I never heard this before.
More, it would be more outside Yerushalayim.
It's more, it's right, yeah. Because you can't eat it.
Oh, because you can't eat it.
You can eat it, yeah. Okay. It's a side point, but if you're interested in this point, you could look in footnote 9 and see the Mefarshim about this. Okay. Halacha 4. Hamakabal Zeisim L'Shemen. Now, up until now, we've been talking about a kaplan where you're doing the actual work in the field, and you're planting, and you're doing the harvesting, you're doing the whole work. Here, the stuff already grew. The olive trees are laden with olives. And you're makabel the zeis and l'shemen. You're makabel the olive trees to produce oil. That's what your job is. Not to cultivate it, but to harvest it and create oil. Kishen shecholken b'chulin, kein cholken b'truma. So here, you're going to divide everything up between them. In other words, even though the, let's say the, we're going to compare this to the previous mission, right? So even if the owner is a Kohen, he does not get all the trumas by default, like in the previous case. Here you're going to divide it, even though the sharecroppers are Yisrael. It doesn't make a difference. Cholken, they divide it. Which I think it means when it says cholken, well, I think when it says cholken, whenever we've said cholken, by the way, I think the pshat has always been, you cholik it according to the portion that you decided. Mechzat shlish revia, right? So if it's 50%, 30%, right, 25%, whatever the cut was for the rest of the field, so that would also be true for the truma. That's the way I understood it, okay? Next, Rabbi Huda, he disagrees. He says, Yisrael shekiv mekonim levin zaysim l'shemen, in the same case we just mentioned, olam machzat schar, he's going into a deal where they're gonna split the where you know they supply that they give him the supply and they tell him he has to sell it and then they split the profits 50-50. That's the machzat schar. Hamaisus lebolim, we assume that it always goes to the coin. So he disagrees with the Tanakama. Okay, so the Gemara says Rabbi Huda avad zaysim bekarka. Rabbi Huda considers the olive trees exactly like the previous Mishnah, which was like when you lease land. Just like when you lease land, it all goes to the owner, so too, the olives also will go to the owner. He treats the olives like their land. Rabbanan loved them, as they don't treat it like land. So, although if you lease land, the Kohen, the Kohen gets it, but by the trees, the olive trees, it's not the case. Let's see. Down in footnote 16, he says, in the first case, the sharecropper's attention is focused on the success of the future crop, whose yield is as yet unknown. But he hopes it'll be good. The privilege of choosing the recipient of the miceris is of little monetary value, you know, whatever that value is. So that's by comparison a matter of small importance. He's trying to give you the psychology of the thinking over here. So right. So if you're coming in at the get-go, so you've got all these guidance and worries about is it going to produce, is it not going to produce. So in the scheme of things, the ability, the type of hanah to decide that you can give as Israel, this to determine which coin gets the trumas and maestros, big deal. That's the least of my worries. Go ahead, take the trumas and maestros. You're the owner. Fine. Not going to worry about that. That's if I'm starting at the beginning of the process. But if I come into the field, it's already fully laden. All the olive trees are already fully grown. I'm not worried about the production. I know I've got a good ripe crop here. So then already, by contrast, that's what he says. If you're leasing already laden olive trees whose crop is already grown, so you know what the profit will be, and you don't have to give it further thought. So he is thus open to other means of realizing its financial potential and is therefore unlikely to relinquish the profit, insignificant as it might be, that might be gained from the privilege of choosing the recipients of the trumas and maestros. Okay, that's basically what he says over here on the bottom. Just to try to understand what's going on here. Okay, me'ata, so the Gemara says, We're going to compare Rabbi Huda to Rabbi Eliezer. That's on Nun Dalet. We had a machlokes, if you remember. So Rabbi Huda is going to hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Again, let's just take a look at Nun Dalet, just to remind ourselves what he says. On Nun Dalet, right? Yeah. So on Nadal and Halacha Beis, it said, a Kohen and a Levi who are Makabal or Sodomi Yisrael, right? So when the sharecroppers are Kohen and Levi, Tanakama says That what? Kishenshul chokam v'chol and kachokam v'truma. That they divided up evenly. Rabbi Eliezer said, no, hamaisa shalahen, amanas came bo. Meaning that the kohen and levi, as kablonim, assume they're going to get the ketrus and maisers. Again, Tanakama holds 50-50. And Rabbi Eliezer holds, no, it all goes to the kohen. Oh. So now, the Gemara is comparing Yata in Yisbor, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Eliezer, if Rabbi Huda is going to hold like Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah over there, the Rabbi Eliezer, now we're in the Chesam and Beis, the Rabbi Eliezer, that's the understanding we when we came to lease the field that we were going to get the Trumas and Maisers as Kohanim and Levim. V'hocha koin v'levi shekivlu zesim l'shemen v'yisrael ha-maisers shalahen shalmanas came bo. So therefore, he's using the same type of thinking. When they come into the field, to this olive oil field, they're also going to be coming in with the same thinking that, right, that they're going to get the Trumas and Maisers. Okay? Parase shal kohen shahaisa shuma etza Yisrael. Now we're going to talk about a case of a business venture. So this is just a whole couple little bit. There's some halachas of ribbis here we're trying to get, which you have to understand. So if you have a, what they did was, you'd have a Kohen's cow. Okay, so we start off with the cow. Kohen owns the cow 100%. He bought it. He raised it. It's his cow, right? Let's say the cow is worth $1,000. Now, this cow is going to be able to produce little cows. And it could produce milk. And it could be used for all kinds of business ventures. But he's not interested in that. But he's going to have a Yisrael go out. And he's going to give them the cow. And it's what he does is he does a shuma. He evaluates how much this cow is worth right now when I'm giving you this cow. Why do I do that? Because we want to understand. We want to have a solid understanding. What is the start value? So we can determine later when you come back to me, did the cow go up in value? Let's say it goes up to $1,500. Then we'll be able to assess what was the profit. And we'll split the profit 50-50, right? 250.
That value is based on what the cow can produce.
Well, it's based, I don't want to get into the details. Whatever profit came.
You can sell this cow in the market.
The cow may get sick and may go down in value. Whatever it is, we're sharing the risk. So if I give the cow as $1,000. And you go ahead and the cow gets sick while it's in your possession, it becomes worth $800. So we had a loss of $200 on the value. You're going to give me, the Kohen, the owner, $100 because we're splitting whatever profit or loss comes from this cow. Okay, that's the first thing you got to know. That's what Shuma is here. Let's just start to read it. Parasha Shal Kohen Shoyza Shuma Eitzel Yisrael. The Kohen owned the cow and he evaluated it. Before he gave it to the Yisrael, who's going to be working, he's going to be doing all the work with the cow, right, and trying to have it, produce children. The yoldas b'char, and then the cow gives birth to a b'char. So it says ha'b'char la kohen, devir Rabbi Yehuda. So in other words, even though we were going to split all the children, right, all the offspring, but a b'char is a matana la kohen, and the kohen assumes, hey, you know. Although we're splitting it, when it comes to Bihar, we're not splitting the Bihar. I'm the Kohen, and the Bihar comes to me anyway. So if it gets a Bihar, I get the Bihar. That's the first thing. That's what Yehuda's sheet. And the Chacham says, no, ain't a Bihar, elishneim. It's part of the deal. Whatever produces, 50% for you, 50% for me, right? Okay. Amal Henry Yehuda, iyatem moidelim emaisra sadehu shem shalom. You already agreed to me that if it came to a field, we just had it in the Mishnah, that if a Kohen owed a field, that was Halacha Gimel, right? It says, Yisrael Shekibo Mikon Mi Levi. We just read it on Amar Aleph at the top. It says, Hamaisus Labailam. You already agreed to me to this basic principle that a Kohen as an owner, there's an assumption that he's going to get the Trumas and Maisrus. So why are you all of a sudden starting up with me when it comes to the Bihar? Wouldn't it be the same line of reasoning? The owner should get the Bihar. On Wilois, they said to him, no. The field belongs to the Kohen. So, in other words, even though the Yisrael has been Makabalit, but it's still completely in the coins with Shus. He's just working for me. But the para is gufa l'shnehen. When we make this shuma deal, we actually become partners. We become partners in the para. That's the way the deal works. And that's because you share in 50% of the profit and 50% of the loss. So because of that, it becomes a shutfus. So it's no longer, so therefore the Bechor belongs to both of them. That's their answer. Okay, so it's not such a gefela kakasha from Rabbi Yehuda.
And there's no sense that yes, the kain gets the Bechor, but the second animal goes completely to the other person.
No, first of all, that would never work as an even Steven deal, you know. The firstborn is always the best. You know your firstborn is your favorite, right? Okay. Af ha-parah, so the Gemara says, Af ha-parah, the case of the cow to him, ha-isa gufa la-koin, if he had accepted all financial risk, it says there in the English, right? If he was the complete owner of the parah, then you know, I'd be asking him, ha-bachar la-koin, he would go get the bachar. The Tony Kane, they taught this in a Brisa, Hashom, one who praises an item in advance of a business venture, Ba'achrayis Shnehem, the risk is assumed by both partners, Hamakabal Ba'achrayis Hanoisin. But when someone is Makabal, means he leases it from another person, then the risk is entirely on the person who is the owner, the lessor, and therefore he owns the Guf HaKark. Okay? So that's what it says. Now we're going to talk about, I'm not giving him a cow, I'm going to give you money, right? Come to me, I'm a kohen, I've got a lot of cash on hand, and what I want to do is I want to make the cash work for me, so I'll do is I'll find somebody who's unemployed or needs a job, I'll give them some cash, I'll say, here's some cash, go out, buy such and such products, sell them, we'll split the profits 50-50, right? That's the idea here. Collection us in Moisley Yisrael Likach Lahem Peres. He has money, he gives to Yisrael to buy fruit. Lamaxis Char, and they're going to split the profits 50-50. Amaloi, he says, Hosiro Opachaso Shali. If it goes up our value, that's mine. That's my, HaMaisus Shalcha. And the Maisus, he's giving the Maisus to the Yisrael. Right? It's a little strange. But he's giving up his rights to the Maestras, and he's saying, because what he's doing is he's assuming the risk, and he'd rather bet on the value of the stuff going up. I guess he thinks it's going to go up in value, so he doesn't want to split that. He thinks, let's say, it's going to go up, 50%. So I don't want to split that with you, I'd rather do it like this. I'd rather say, you keep the terms of Maestras, that's like 10, 12, 13%, whatever it is, right? And I'll take the risk on whether it goes up or down in value. So that's mutter, you're allowed to do that. Okay? But what about the opposite case? Yisrael shenasa mois l'kohen. Let's suppose it's not the kohen that had the money, it was the Yisrael that had the money. And he gives the money to a kohen.
Why would you give the money to a kohen?
No, we're just saying another case. It's exactly the same case, but it's reversed. Instead of the Kohen being the financer, the Yisrael is the financer. Why did Rabbanu Shlomo give the Yisrael the money in one case and the Kohen in another case? I don't know.
No, the Kohen in the first case.
I just get it. Yeah. Okay, so Yisrael gives the money to the Kohen, Likach L'Bohem Peres, to buy fruit, and L'Machshaskar, the same deal, the Kohen will sell it for half the profits. Now the Yisrael says to the Kohen, Hosiro Pikasushali, it'll be the same deal. Up or down, it'll be my problem. For Hamaisha Shalcha, I'm going to give you the Maishas. You, the Kohen, will keep the terms of Maishas. Imnoxan Loischarai. Now here we have an added thing here. If he pays the Kohen for his work in full, okay, that means that there's a separate fee for the management. There's a management fee here. Then it's mutter, and lav asr, otherwise it's asr. The pshat's like this. The pshat is, right. So let's just talk a second, just to speak out this small nuance. In Hilchos Ribbis, this is a problem. If I give you something, If I'm giving you money to go out and work with, and so basically that's like a loan, right? So if I'm giving you a loan, and you go out and you make money, and you give me back my original loan plus the profits that we made, it looks like ribbis, right? But what's the heter? The heter is called the heter iska. What's the basis of the heter iska? The basis of the heter iska is that we both are assuming risk. That is to say, if it goes down or up in value, that we'll both, or we lose money, that we'll both assume a certain risk to it. That's where we become partners, and that's where there's a heter for the ribbis perspective. But if I accept all the risk, then what's the heter to do it? The partnership is lost. I'm only going to gain from this. I'm only going to lose if it goes down in value. But if you succeed and sell the stuff and you make profit, I'm going to get that profit as part of the loan. And we're not really partners per se in the principal. Because you're not assuming any risk. In other words, there's no deal here where we're saying, if let's suppose that the product that you buy gets, you know, it only brings in, you know, 25% of what we were expecting, and we take a loss on it, right? It doesn't say that he has to make up the difference for what the original investment was. So in the absence of that, you don't have a heter from ribbis. But what happens is, the problem is, if you examine the transaction closely, you'll see that the real ribbis here is the work that you are doing for me. Are you getting compensated for that work? In other words, you're going out, you're buying it at the market, you're setting up a stand, you're selling it. All that tircha, are you being compensated for that? If you're not being compensated for that, then you're working for me without pay on the basis of a loan that I made you. That's what the Gemara is basically saying. So if I pay you for your work, that removes that problem. Okay? I believe that's the Yisod over here. Let's take a look at 16 inside a little bit.
He's not using the Truman the Miser as salary?
That's the point. If I don't pay him, you're right. If that's the other side of it. If I don't pay him for his tircha, for his wages, and I give him the Trumas and Maestras, then I'm using Trumas and Maestras to help pay for the wages. And that's awesome. You can't use Trumas and Maestras to pay wages. And that's what he says in the beginning of 16. I want to go to the second paragraph. There are two reasons. A, the tithes represent payment for his services. Their transfer is a desecration. That's a chilul. It appears to violate the kain hamasayeh of a beis agronus, right?
So why is the first case okay? Why am I allowed to say you keep the, I'm the kain, why am I allowed to say you keep the trumas and maestros? Who says
I'm because the trumas and maestros are yours.
Yeah.
You would only, you're allowed to do whatever you want with your trumas and maestros. You can give it away, you can sell it, you can do whatever you want with it.
Is that right?
It's your mammon. Yeah, it's mammon kain. Okay. That's why it's mammon. This is rectified by paying the coin separately so that it is clear that the tithes are not being received in exchange. B, the purpose of the wage paid to a managing partner is to remove the taint of ribbis, the avak ribbis, from his services by paying for them. Where the wage is paid with the maestros, the appearance of ribbis remains. It's because tithes are always given to Kohanim in fulfillment of the tithing obligation. An observer will assume that the tithes are being given for the unusual reason, for the usual reasons, and do not represent an independent payment for services rendered. And despite the transfer of the tithes, it appears that the coin services were performed free of charge and violate the prohibition of ribbis. So that's the whole idea here, okay? So therefore, in law of Osir, that's why it's Osir. Okay, that's the end of page Milkas. I would like to mention one thing, if you have a second. Yep, 2 minutes. I was listening to a Dvar Torah today on Parshas Korach, actually, and he said over a very interesting thing. He was talking about, if you look in the Parsha, it said there's two things over there. It says that the reason why I gave the Kohanim and the Levium the Maestros is one place it says Chelef Avodasam, This is instead of their avoda that they do in Beis HaMikdash, right? Instead of their avoda, they get the Trumas and Maasros. And in another place it says, this is because they don't have a Nachla in Eretz Yisrael with the rest of Yidden. So why are these two things? They seem to be like two. That's what his Torah was about. So he had a long arichas about why. I'm not going to go into the arichas. But at the end of his Dvar Torah, after he discussed various shittas to explain these two things, he spoke out of Me'iri, which I thought was very interesting. The Me'iri says, why is there an Isser for Koin HaMasayeya Bebeis HaGronis? I was so happy that he was talking about this. You know, like, we keep talking about this page after page. What is the Yisod? The Me'iri says, because if I go as, let's say I'm the Kohen, and I go to help you out in your harvesting and all the work involved in that, and because, as a result of that, you're to me, the Kohen, and you give me the Trumas and Maestras as a result of that Hakaras HaToiv, it's not Kalef Avodosam. Then the Trumas and Maestras, this is the Meiri says this, then the Trumas and Maestras is not Kalef Avodosam, it's Kalef my working for you. And Mimela, that's why a kind Hamasav Beis HaGronis, that's like a mocker for the Isser.
Very nice.
And I thought it was very nice, very interesting, Meiri.
I'm timely.
Kol Tov, everybody.